early days of 1983, I started a kind of fasting. I was alone. All my friends went for New Year celebrations. They went to see their families. I started to have a kind of fast, which I only drank water. I went to the library and read books. We, five persons who lived together, had a very large library with different books. I found a book about Islam. It was a small book by Sayyid Qutb, titled, What is Islam? It was after 16 days of fasting when I started to read the book.
Un pequeño libro de Sayyid Qutb se llamaba ¿Qué es el Islam? Y cuando comencé a leer lo que llevaría...
I read that saying prayers five times a day is one of the bases of Islam. A kind of light entered my heart and taught me that this is the way which I should follow. So I accepted Islam and returned to Granada to communicate with Muslims. It was after living here for 4 years, far away from city life, I started to learn Islam's practical precepts, like wudu, ghusl, prayers, and fasting. And this way, I began to follow Islam.
Mi camino por la senda del Islam.
Esta es la casa de Pedro.
Here is Pedro's home. He is an intimate friend of mine who became Muslim several years ago.
Se hizo musulmán hace unos años. Bueno, es un hombre de aquí.
This is all his life, what you see here. This is a mystic life from Granada. Well, I visit him whenever I come to Granada because he is a man with a great heart.
Bueno, siempre que vengo a Granada vengo a verle, ¿no? Porque es un hombre de un gran corazón.
Con mi
finding God and converting to Islam was a critical moment in my life. Before becoming a Muslim, I can say I was following my survival. But after I converted to Islam, a substantial change happened. All events in my life were in front of my eyes, and the outlook of my life started to appear bright.
Se comienza a aclarar.
I remember the first verse of the Quran I memorized. It was, verily, in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. Actually, I should explain how I reached Islam. This Quranic verse indicated this stage of my life because all happened to me was a journey to find tranquility in my heart. I passed a very ordinary stage. Actually, I started to observe some Islamic precepts, like prayer and fasting. And as a result, I understood the meaning of Islam and placed it inside my heart. Then, I started to build my surrounding according to God. We are going to Arenas de San Peter, which is a small village. It is about 120 kilometers south of Madrid. Maria Tavajo and Agustin Novis live there. This husband and wife are translators and writers. They have translated most of Henry Corman's books. They have a very deep and mystic view about life. Agustin has some works, one of which is a criticism of development. In my opinion, it is an amazing book. When I found God and believed in Him, the conditions changed as well, especially when I became a Muslim, a series of new role models appeared to me who had obvious behavior and conduct, like Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And after a while, characters like Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and other imams who were from Prophet Muhammad's family.
El ejemplo y la actitud que ellos nos han transmitido con sus vidas y con sus enseñanzas. Personas como, en primer lugar, por supuesto...
And even contemporary characters that are our role models, seriously, with their deeds and conducts, like Imam Khomeini.
De guía y revolucionario que...
Firstly, it is not for his role as a leader of an effective revolution in the contemporary era, but substantially for his personal deeds, lifestyle, reactions, and thoughts.
Por su la profundidad de su reflexión personal y de su pensamiento.
Vale, tafsir sureja.
Has traducido.
Descubrimiento del Islam.
After I knew Islam and accepted it as an ideology, little by little I discovered some new aspects believed by Islamic thoughts. One of these aspects is a socio-political aspect, which is supported by Islamic thought.
La dimensión social y política que la creencia islámica implica. Digamos, el Islam me va a permitir.
Islam gave me the opportunity to restore this aspect of life. This was the obsession I had about the social and political issues. This was part of a deeper attitude towards the realities themselves. For example, it was part of this realization that relationship with God affects the person himself and helps reform his personality.
Profundo de la realidad misma, es decir, como parte de una comprensión de que.
This helped me communicate with people. Converting to Islam gradually restored all periods of time when I lost for bad events. Those times, my major concern was social and political struggles, as well as trying to change a society into an ideal social system and freedom. Moreover, I had lost my interest in politics because there was no democracy in the country. Studying the current democracy showed that it was not a step forward to social justice and freedom. Reaching Islam did not just require restoring what you had lost, that is, trying to be happy or enhancing human knowledge. Additionally, it has another important aspect, which requires believing in one single God and Creator for everything.
Sino que además va a aportarle esa dimensión de.
He is the Creator who requires us to have social commitment. This is for defending the religion, justice, and social equity for humans.
Defensa de la igualdad social de los seres humanos.
Actually, this verse of the Quran which says, "How many a small company has overcome a large company by permission of Allah," is a source of inspiration for contemporary humans. Attention is attracted towards this idea that quantity is not the only important thing. Quantity, which is the main pillar of this civilization, is not of importance.
Es, en mi opinión, una fuente de inspiración.
Personal quality is important. The verse says that the individual is the center of attention. It allows the person to review himself, restore his self-assurance, and know his value.
Sobre la cuestión de la cantidad, no sobre el asunto sobre el que está fundamentada la.
There are some verses in the Quran in which God says, for example, when a person saves another, he saves the whole of humanity. And when a person kills a soul, he kills all of humanity.
El individuo como el centro de la atención y por tanto permite.
These verses give one the permission to react. They show the significance of an individual alone in this society which ruins the humanity of humans.
Esta sociedad cosificadora. En ese sentido.
For example, the Islamic resistance in Lebanon is so promising. It has a message which is so promising for humanity, both for believers and non-believers, although its audience is the oppressed.
Muy esperanzadora la humanidad, tanto creyente como no creyente.
The reason is that the main cause of change is not the quantity of humans. The number of people in a revolution is not important, but their self-esteem. It is not necessary that a large number of people be in any movement to change a society in a positive way, but fundamentally, what we need is their high quality of character. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah is a good example of Islamic leadership. Although he's an international leader, he's at the forefront of defending his people. His values are more than defending his people, that is, defending the values which save people from deadlock by his life and his family's life. He is not a leader who manages his forces sitting at a desk. He leads this movement by his life and his family's life, to the extent that his son was martyred.
La sangre de uno de sus hijos en la lucha por sus ideales.
Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah became an international character, especially after Israel's imposed war in the summer of 2006. He is a valuable example of a person who is referred by other people for opposing oppression. On one hand, he's so strong against homicide, oppression, state terrorism, and illegal occupation of lands. On the other hand, he is very flexible and lenient, who embraces all people. No one is excluded. No one of those who can take part in this battle, or at least those who are ready to talk about their ideology. Life is passing, life is passing, and beautiful dreams and your wishes are forgotten. Fame disappears. You'll see none of your ambitions remain, even not a memory.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما يأتيهم من ذكر من الرحمن محدث إلا كانوا عنه معرضين.
And no revelation comes to them anew from the Most Merciful, except that they turn away from it.
فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا فَسَيَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
For they have already denied, but there will come to them the news of that which they used to ridicule.
Brothers and sisters, previously we were discussing these verses of chapter Shu'ara. وَمَا يَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ ذِكْرٍ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ مُحْدَثٍ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهُ مُعْرِضِينَ. And never comes there to them a new reminder from the Beneficent Allah, but they turn away from it. فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا فَسَيَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. So they have indeed rejected it, and therefore the news of that which they used to mock shall soon come to them. These verses, I mean the 5th and 6th verses of this chapter, were discussing the different attributes of the pagans. As you may remember, there were 3 different attributes mentioned for these people: aversion, denial, and derision. Now, the important point is that these verses are implying that the human beings may fall into pitfall, but it is step by step. It is a gradual process. And for most of the people, this cannot happen immediately and in one night. First, man ignores and dislikes the truth. Then he goes to deny it. And finally, he scoffs at it. Now, in the next verse, I mean the 6th one, it adds implying that these people do not get satisfied with aversion, and they begin to deny, and they then start to do something worse than that which is scoffing at the revelations. So it says, فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا. So they have indeed rejected it. فَسَيَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Therefore, the news of that which they used to mock shall soon come to them. About this verse, let's have a look at the word anba. This Quranic word is the plural form of the word naba, which means important news. Its purpose here, in this verse, is those severe punishments which will be imposed on them, both in this world and in hereafter. About these punishments, some commentators believe that they are limited to those in the hereafter. Of course, most of the commentators believe that the concept of the verse is general, and in fact, this is true because the verse is absolute. So we believe that the concept of the verse is general. So this punishment mentioned in the verse cannot be limited to the punishments of hereafter. Because paganism, denying the truth, has got an extensive, terrible effect on the entire life of man. So this cannot be ignored. So the punishments, فَسَيَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ, these punishments are most probably the punishments of both this world and hereafter.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ تمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly, the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qum.
So the fourth to sixth verses of this chapter mentioned the different attributes of the pagans, and we understood that being misled is something like a gradual process, and it happens step by step. Now, studying these verses together shows that when man is on deviated paths, he gets increasingly far away from the truth. First, it is the phase of aversion and turning away from the truth and being heedless to it. And then, gradually, man begins to deny and reject it. You may have seen some people that deliberately try to deny the truth although they believe it is the truth. And then man can even get further than this stage. He starts to mock the truth. And then divine punishment will come definitely. فَسَيَأْتِيهِمْ أَنْبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Of course, they will be given some time, some kind of apparent respite in this world, because they have time to mock the truth, they can scoff at it, but then what is for sure awaiting them is the punishments of both this world and hereafter. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry, in your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to answer your questions, issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. We have with us in our studio today Mr. Salman Naqvi, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University and an Islamic researcher in the Hafza Almi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Brother, in our previous session, we have been talking about the classification of behaviors. You said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain faculties, and management of those faculties is really important. And some are in our control that we can, actually maintain or manage very easily. And some, like time, are not in our control, but we can also teach our children the management of time and etc. The last thing we said in the previous session was that how we can make a child learn to resolve a conflict without making quarrels and fights.
The emphasis there was on the mental development of a child.
Yes.
One of the results would be that he would be able to manage conflicts in the future, conflict resolution. But the important thing is the mental development, which means the intellectual.
How he can manage that.
That is about with cognition, knowing the truth,
yes.
Finding out the truth, discovering the truth, how to discover the truth,
yes.
How to understand things, how to resolve problems, how to I'm talking about the mental aspect, the intellectual aspect. Facing them comes to the practical level.
All right.
Then we're talking about the emotional development, controlling my anger, my fear, controlling my feelings. I'm talking about the intellectual level. I'm talking about the cognitive level. I'm talking about the things which are going on in my mind, in my brain, with respect to knowing things, cognition of things.
Yes.
Then we come to the level of the emotions. The emotions have to be managed. My fear, my anger.
Yeah.
If there's depression or there are other states which I have to manage.
All right.
The temperament, I have to be very much at a level of, as we say, equilibrium in myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be at peace with myself. The inner feelings and emotions, how do I control them? They are influenced by many factors. But how am I able to cope up the emotional quotient that I have? How do I behave? What my attitude is? What do I go for? What I don't like? What I don't like? My anger, what I don't like? My hate, my love, my fear.
All right.
Courage, all these internal feelings which are there, they have to be managed. And the child has to see me as a parent telling me how to do it, showing me how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So stress management, anger management, these are all issues that are related
to the mental development.
To mental development, the emotional development. Then we have the physical health. Let's go through the whole ambit of the classification behavior that we're talking about.
Yes, I will continue the session with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing.
So as I said in the previous session, we're talking about the behavior with ourselves.
Yes.
So the mental health is something which I have inherent in my nature.
Yes.
My physical well-being.
Yes.
Development.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the growth of the body is not in my control.
True.
But managing it, controlling it, proper food, hygiene,
mm-hmm.
rest, recreation.
Yes.
Even how my posture, how I sit,
okay.
how I walk, how I exercise, go mm-hmm. for sports, even self-defense training.
Yeah.
Very important. Moreover, my clothing, my attire,
okay.
what I wear, how I wear, my living environment, how do I manage my living environment?
Okay.
How do I, for example, the weather which I'm living in, how do I live in that weather? It's cold weather. Acclimatization to the weather.
Yes.
Proper clothing according to the environment.
Particular environment.
The weather.
The climate, yeah.
It's sunny,
whether
it's hot, sunny, it's warm.
Rainy.
So these are all related to my physical well-being.
Management.
So I have to be able to do that.
Yes.
As a child, I have to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm a parent, then I should know that all these aspects have to be taken care of.
Yes.
And my child should be able to learn them,
mm-hmm.
not in a formal way, but in a very subtle way, in
yeah.
an indirect way. When I'm taking my child to bed, I'm taking him to the bathroom. I'm
yeah.
taking him to... So I have to manage his hygiene
mm-hmm.
or her hygiene, how
yeah.
to wash themselves, how to... take care of, as I said, the...
How to go for ablution.
Ablution.
Yeah.
Washing themselves up. Clothing which has to take care... which has to, number one, the clothing has to be according to the weather.
Yeah.
The clothing has to be according to the religious precepts, which
religion
say what should be covered.
Yeah.
What type of cloth I can wear. For example, a man cannot wear silk, pure
yeah.
silk clothes. All of these things are inbuilt. I mean,
yeah.
physical clothing is not just one thing. It has so many aspects.
Yes.
And my child has to learn them. So,
and I, as a parent, have to help my child develop all that, whether it's about his food, about his exercising, whatever.
Medication.
Yeah.
I mean, for example, there's a flu. We go for medication quickly. Why don't we go for natural healing? Why don't we go for natural herbs or whatever? So in the household, you should have all these small things available for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And don't suddenly immediately take him into the doctor.
Yeah.
In many households, you have these small...
Many herbs.
Herbs or many small...
Homemade
remedies. So we have to, as parents, know about them. And be able to,
yeah.
we as parents have to know about them, and we have to be able to use those remedies, employ those remedies, and even the child learns them.
Yes.
And it acquires them as a learning which he or she can later on
mm-hmm.
Experience, apply in life.
Yeah, and does not get used to so much medication at very early age.
And especially when he's able to go for sports, exercise. He knows how to maintain his posture, physical strength, physical eating properly, taking care of these things, then there's no need for, rarely one should get sick or take up an ailment or become injured or whatever. I mean, if the proper rules of living are applied and taught and learnt from the tender age of a child,
mm-hmm.
so many things would be going on in a natural way.
Mm-hmm.
The upbringing, the health, the physique, the physiology, the hygiene, everything would be balanced.
Yes.
And if that is there, then there's no need to become sick or ill or other. Of course, there may be issues which are out of our control.
But there are certain things that are in our control and
we should be able to manage them.
How we can help more our child, we talked about physical development. I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
Ya muqiy al-khayrat, ya muqiy al-khayrat.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the 80th surah of the Holy Quran, Surah Abbas, verse 24, says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. So let man observe his food.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are saying how you as parents can help your children in physical development in terms of their nutrition, in terms of the exercise, recreation, their attire, their clothing, their hygiene, and so on. Yes, brother.
So these are those things which are faculties which are there present in the human being, in his existence, in his very human body, the body which has been created by Allah Almighty in a beautiful way. And then we have things which are out of our control. For example, we have the management of our time.
Okay.
Now we need to teach ourselves and our children to manage the most
time.
Important
time
resource
is
time.
That's out of our control.
It's,
and we
but
need to
it's the most
that.
Precious thing.
Yes. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr.
Exactly.
He swears about this time.
Time is passing as the clouds are passing, as is in one of the hadiths. Time is flying. Common knowledge, how to manage it. If I am able to manage my time, if I am able to make sections of, as it has been mentioned in many ahadiths, three types of things have to be done, or four types of things have to be done in
throughout
our daily
day.
Lives.
Okay.
For example, one time has to be kept for my relationship with Allah Almighty.
Okay.
So that is one part of my life.
Okay.
One part has to be left for example, earning my living.
Yes.
As an elderly person or as a child preparing to be able to go for my professional life, my career. The third part is for my special leisure time, my resting time, my leisure time, my rest. And the fourth is going out for recreation with my family. Going into the environment, going out into the open. So if I am able to manage my time and the management of the time should be around prayer times as a Muslims.
Yes.
We should manage all our affairs in a day on a daily basis around the prayer timings, starting with Fajr and Zuhr, and all of these, the compartments which we make in our lives should be focusing on these prayer times, which are the milestones every day which have to be managed. So
yes, I've seen like many people out there who get up for the Fajr prayers in the morning, even as parents, even as they teach their children, but then they go for sleep again. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted you to start your day later in the day, then Fajr prayers would have not been that early in the morning. So we have to start our day early in the morning and teach that to our students.
Even breakfast, early morning breakfast is very important.
Yes.
Nowadays, our kids run off to school without breakfast.
Without any breakfast.
And that is a calamity. I mean, the most important time which one has to take food is
the breakfast.
Is breakfast.
Of course.
Luqamatu sahar mithmaru al-badan. It has been said in one of the ahadiths that the food that we take at the time of time of dawn
the
morning after Fajr prayers, that is the most important aspect of food, the most
important
meal of the day.
Okay.
It has the most influence on body, on physiological health.
Yes. Well, these are so important things that parents can teach to their children. Thank you so much for telling us all that. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any suggestions, feedback, or questions, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way. complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
Aperture.
During the Vietnam War, the U.S. military engaged in an aggressive program of chemical warfare codenamed Operation Ranch Hand. Now, from 1961 to 1971, the U.S. military sprayed a range of herbicides across more than 4.5 million acres of Vietnam to destroy the forest cover and food crops used by North Vietnamese. I'm Daniel Arya, and this is Aperture. Agent Orange, which contains the deadly chemical dioxin, was the most commonly used herbicide. It was later proven to cause serious health issues, including cancer, birth defects, rashes, and severe psychological and neurological problems. But the Vietnamese were not the only ones affected. U.S. soldiers unknowingly brought the legacy of Agent Orange back home. Join us for this week's Aperture as we meet three children of U.S. veterans who fallen victim to Agent Orange and follow them as they travel to Vietnam to face their demons. Here's the first part.
All I ever heard was war stories about how horrible it was and how violent everything was and that there was just death and destruction. And that's the picture that was painted in my head of what Vietnam was. And it scared me half to death when I was getting ready to come over here, to the point where I was actually shaking on the plane on my way here because I did not know what to expect.
Traveling here, someone said, you know, Heather travels back to the land of her father's demons. Vietnam is still a very scary, dangerous place to them.
I was actually very nervous and very scared. Several of my father's friends kind of scared me about some of the things that I may see and hear and experience. Their vision of Vietnam was a war-torn, angry place.
Have any bottled water before we get going, just in case.
My name is Josh Kelly. I was born on August 18th, 1975.
My name is Heather Bowser. My maiden name is Morris.
My name is Rachel Harding. I was born in northern Indiana near Chicago.
My dad was Daniel Kelly. He was in the U.S. Marine Corps, and he fought in Vietnam.
My parents had married 9 days before he had left for Vietnam. They said that, you know, if they had 9 days being together, that's what they wanted to do.
My father got his draft papers when he turned 18 and chose to marry my mother before he left. They got married, and 2 weeks later, he was deployed to Vietnam.
I've been trying to find out what exactly happened when he was there, because when I was younger, I tried to block the stories out because some of them were so scary and so violent and all that I just tried to not even listen to them because I didn't want to hear it because they scared the bottom of me because I was just a kid.
Home, I'm coming home. No more marching and fighting for me. I am a soldier, a coming home soldier. No purple heart do I wear on my chest. I'm coming home, I'm coming. I'm coming home, I'm
When they came home, they wanted to put the war behind them. The Vietnam War was a very difficult political time, civil rights time, and so wanting to put it behind them, start their family, and move on.
As soon as he came home, they chose to wait to have children. They waited about 7 years before they decided to try, and I was the firstborn.
The string's already broken, and he doesn't really care. It keeps changing fast, and it don't last for long.
So my mother had two miscarriages. She lost two children. And no one in our family had had any kind of problems in that respect. So it was very unexpected. And then in 1972, my mother was pregnant again and felt that she had gone into labor early. She was not due for a while. They went to the hospital. She had already lost two children, so she was very scared. She thought she might be miscarrying again at the very late time in the pregnancy. They rushed her into the hospital, and she said, I'm in labor. And she was very thin, and they kind of said, no, you're okay. It's okay. You're going to be all right. You're not in labor. You barely look pregnant. She was 7 months along at that point. My mother woke up to my father sitting at her bedside telling her, and it's hard to talk about, but he said, Sharon, she's damaged. And that's what she woke up to. So I can only imagine how scary that was.
The doctors, as soon as I was born, they took me from my mom and they put me in a little incubator, and then they rushed me off out of the room. They didn't explain anything to my mom. They just said that there was problems.
Various doctors approached my mother at different times and asked what she had done to her child. What had she done to cause such terrible problems?
They brought her over to show me to her for about 5 minutes, and then they put me on an airplane and they flew me to another state, and they kept me in the incubator and they put me in intensive care, and they had all kinds of doctors looking at me and checking to see if I was gonna live or die or what the deal was, because missing my arms and my leg, they weren't sure what all was wrong with me. They started to take me to the doctors and stuff out there, and because they were big hospitals and there was lots of doctors from around the world and everything, they wanted to try a whole bunch of different surgeries and stuff that were like experimental surgeries that nobody had ever tried before. Like one of them was that they wanted to grow my arms back, and the way that they were going to do it is they were going to cut the skin open, break the bone, and then they were going to drill holes through it and put screws in it and put plates to separate the bone, and the bone would grow in between the gaps. And they said that it could take up to 5 to 10 years for my arms to finish growing back, and that it would be an extremely painful.
I want to go back to real quick to one memory I had in kindergarten. We were learning about our hands. This is your left hand, this is your right hand. And it's always a memory that I kind of laugh about. I love school. I couldn't wait to go to school. I was so excited. I wanted to read and do that stuff. So we're sitting in this circle, and the little children are sitting there, and I can just remember this to this day. And there was like a board on the floor, and it had a picture, an outline of a hand and another hand. And each child was to go around and take their turn and say, this is my left hand, this is my right hand, this is my left hand, this is my right hand. And so I remember just being anxious and excited to do my turn. And I went to put my hand in, and I just, at that moment, I was like, oh, okay. Because they had the outline, and my fingers didn't match the outline. And I was like, okay, this is my left hand, this is my right hand, but they don't look like that left hand and that right hand. And that was kind of like, okay, I'm different. That's different.
pretty much all my life, as far back as I can remember, I knew I was different because I was always going to the doctors. And I would always see the other kids playing and stuff, and I couldn't really go play with them because I either had doctor's appointments or they didn't want anything to do with me.
I have lost 19 children. I never carried more longer than 8.5 weeks, and I would lose my children. I have hypothyroidism, the infertility issue, and psoriatic arthritis. Those are the three biggest ones that I have that affect my life personally. And my family could not understand, my father included, could not understand, where did this come from? Nobody else in the family's ever had this. How come you're suffering from this and nobody else ever has?
I've seen lots of different kids that had disabilities and stuff from being like in the hospitals and stuff all the time, and some of them are so similar that it would have to be from the same thing. The similarities in our disabilities are so much alike. There's no way to deny that it was the same thing that caused both of them.
These are the structural formulas for 2,4-dichlorophenoxyacetic acid, commonly known as 2,4-D and 2,4,5-T. From these chemicals are made a large number of closely related compounds, which are sold commercially for weed and brush control. The Secretary of Defense initiated a project to determine whether visibility in troublesome jungle vegetation in the Republic of Vietnam could be improved by aerially applied chemical sprays. In that country, jungle growth, swamp foliage, and roadside vegetation retains its leaves the year around. Consequently, it affords ideal concealment to guerrilla terrorists who sporadically attack the free people of Vietnam. As a result of these tests, defoliation spraying was placed on an operational basis. Those chemicals already proven most effective as defoliants will continue to be used until faster-acting types.
So my father says that he said that there was spraying of his base pretty regularly. I found out since that his base was practically sprayed every day, and that is also due to its proximity to Benoit. Benoit was the epicenter of where Ranch Hand worked out of. So if they had anything left on their missions, they came around that area and used it. The perimeter was hand sprayed, aerial spraying with the C-123 planes.
My dad was in the U.S. Marine Corps. He was stationed in the Chu Lai Air Base. And while he was there, he was exposed to lots of Agent Orange. They sprayed it on everything. It was in the food, it was in the water, it was on their clothes, it was on the plants, it was on the guns, the ammo, everything had Agent Orange on it. So he was heavily exposed to Agent Orange.
North Vietnam charged today that defoliants have produced many instances of miscarriages, congenital defects, and monstrosities among children.
As we anticipated, the Vietnamese doctors that we've met with very much share our concerns about the effects of Agent Orange.
Although that war was long ago, there is lingering anger about the United States' use of a controversial defoliant spread by American aircraft on the jungles there.
Milton Ross, a special forces advisor near Pleiku, has a son born without the tips of his fingers.
Frank Moore is nearly dead from cancer. He thinks the cancer was caused by chemical defoliants he was exposed to as a soldier in Vietnam.
My dad explained to me about how dangerous the stuff was because it would kill off big old trees and everything in just a couple of days. He would tell me the stories about how he would have to mix it and he would have to load it into the tanks, and he would put the tanks on the planes and the helicopters and everything while he was in the war.
It's still causing trouble, and all of the people that have lost their lives to Agent Orange, and this is kind of where it began. So it's very sad.
We found out that the rate of miscarriages, fetal death in utero, and birth defects are 4 times higher than in the exposed, among the exposed than the non-exposed. We have carried out some more studies. I'm now very sure, certain, that toxic chemicals cause many things to my people, to the exposed people. Cannot deny.
Yes, yes.
Cannot deny the relationship between dioxin with the abnormal outcome of pregnancy. Yeah. Among the exposed people.
After the war time, I mean, after 75, his dad came back here and they have the first child. But due to the ignorance, she or he died after 10 days. The biggest one, I mean, the biggest child of the family is a normal child because he was born before the time that the death came to the army.
But do you know in America who carries the pain of Agent Orange? The veterans who serve. The veterans feel responsible.
Yes.
Our fathers felt responsible
for us.
Even for in Vietnam. I mean, they felt responsible. The soldier, not the chemical companies or the
government.
The government that made the decisions.
So my father felt extreme guilt. He felt like he had caused my birth defects. He had told my mother that every time he looked at me, he felt that it was his responsibility. He had caused this to me. And that's a major problem in the United States, trying to work through the Agent Orange issue, is that the veterans feel extreme guilt.
The man that my mom knew from the time she was four did not come home from Vietnam. He's still wandering around in the jungle somewhere. He came home a very angry man, very sad man.
My dad he was suffering more and more from his PTSD. He was having other health issues and he was getting weak and he couldn't do the things that he could do before, and his health was just going downhill.
Thank you.